you don't you worry. If you were in a hurry, Bob would curry and play ball. Curry and play ball. No matter how your day go, they got a fresh new show today. It's Curry and play ball.
Who's that Dr. Josh Claypool? You know, James? I got my director programming here. I don't even need him here. Curry and Claypool, they in the know. Their topics cover A to Z. So whether you drive fast or slow, just sit on back and feel the beat. I really watch the door.
Oh, no.
It's Curry and Claypool.
Those are the docile sounds of One Soul Carnival. I want to thank Tim Harris and his entire band for giving us the Curry and Claypool show here for like the last 3 years. We love it. It's a great way to start. It gives me a little earworm every time I hear that song. It makes me very, very happy. I get very joyous. I have goosebumps and a slight erection every time I hear that, so I love it. Big show today on the Curry and Claypool show. As we get towards the end of the year, there's going to be lists. We love lists at the end of the year, and we have the top 10 classic rock controversies that we're going to get into on the show. Also, we're getting ready for the Winter Olympics. And there is a controversy in curling. Curling has done quite the job. I remember seeing curling for the first time probably 3 Olympics ago. I was at a bar somewhere, and I was like, all these guys were watching these women bending over and getting all distorted, and their bodies were upside down, and they had these tight, and I was like, what are you guys doing? They're like, we're watching curling. Dude, it's great. And that was when the Norwegian curling team had their own Norwegian curling calendar. They were raising money for obviously their Olympic hopes, and so they did a curling calendar, and it was hot. It sold out like in 3 minutes or something like that. Anyway, there's controversy in curling. Now that we have the computer animation and everything to institute things, we see it on the National Football League all the time, where you could put stuff on the middle of the field advertising. Now you can do this in the Olympics, and that's one of the reasons that NBC would not show the pre-qualification of Olympics this past week, and I'll tell you exactly what was so controversial about that. And also, we're going to talk some more college football. The Oklahoma Sooners and one of their congressmen or senators from the state of Oklahoma want to remember Lincoln Riley in a very special and sarcastic kind of way by naming a stretch of road after him, despite the fact that he's leaving. And Brent Venables, of course, the great defensive mind and coach for the Clemson Tigers, will be taking over his position. I'm not so sure that was not a great trade for the Oklahoma Sooners, because the one thing the Oklahoma Sooners have seemed to have an issue with over the past is their defense, and they'll be getting a defensive-minded coach, so we'll have that going on as well. Dr. Josh Claypool is here, sitting down. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I was just talking to Dr. Hubline about...
It's 7:30 in the morning?
Yeah, well, he's an hour ahead.
Oh, I gotcha.
So we're coming up with new ideas for Adapter Parish.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's challenging when you're trying to bring business strategy and the advanced tactics of that with the history of classic rock.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, but it's almost like two sides of your brain have to join together. So.
Yeah, I emailed him yesterday, I copped you. Of the 5 shows we have on Tony Curry Radio, we have Adapter Parish on Tuesday nights. We have Dark Side of the Pooch on Monday nights. We have Live Wire Wednesday on Wednesdays. We have Austin Hanks and Blues Almighty on Thursdays. And that show's going on later on tonight. I love that show. It's a great show. He played like, I don't know, 12 songs last Thursday, and I knew all of them, and I wanted to add every one of them. He was playing Jason the Scorchers, Driving and Crying.
Yes.
It was killer. It was flipping nasty. Maybe I needed to take a shower after that show. It was so damn good. And then the Damon Johnson show on Fridays. But of all the shows, that one's got the most growth.
Yeah, because it...
And I
saw the email. It people needed to sort of figure out what it was.
Yeah, I mean...
And not lump it in with exactly, oh, it's just, you know, it's there, another.
There's no musical... we don't play music during it, although he made a great Rush analogy.
That was great.
And there's no music. And so when you have a program on a classic rock station that doesn't have music on it, it's kind of like a head scratcher a little bit. And you're kind of like, wait a minute, what is this? And so what that tells me is the fact that its growth from week to week is telling me that people are like... And those are... Those are P1s. Those are people that really enjoy this particular content. They love classic rock too, but they love the content they're hearing, and it's growing exponentially because of that. So that's all the shows are killing it. They're great. But you're used to hearing classic rock in a Damon Johnson show or blues on an Austin Hanks show. And so I was kind of like, wow, I was kind of blown away. So
Austin Hanks show, I feel like I'm being educated about what I thought was the difference between rock, classic rock, Southern rock, and blues.
Yeah.
And I feel like in listening to the show, what I thought was blues is broader than blues.
Yeah.
And what I thought was classic rock, and it would only be categorized as classic rock. I feel like the Austin Hanks, so much of what he plays is great rock. I mean, I know it's blues, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's hard driving, but it's up tempo. It meets all the Tony Curry requirements.
Yeah. I want you to stop trying to compartmentalize a particular thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Classic rock is there's a lot of things. Something can come out yesterday, and if it sounds like a classic rock song, I will play it. It's classic rock. When we were first on the air in 1988, we used to play new music, and people were like, and we used to always say it doesn't need to be classic to be, or doesn't need to be old to be a classic.
Right.
And so, you know, when I hear the blues show, that's the whole idea. You don't want to do, if you do a show about Red Widgets, and it's all you do, the show's dead in 3 weeks.
Yeah. No,
but if you do Red Widgets and then you go, well, it's a widget show, we could do green widgets, we could do blue widgets, we could do different size widgets. You want to grow, and much like Adapter Parish does, you must adapt to what people want to hear.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing a blues show, because I think of Jason the Scorchers, I don't think of them as a blues band, I think of them as a rock band, but they are based in blues. Okay. Now, he does play Robert Johnson, he plays stuff from Muddy Waters, he plays Chuck Berry, he plays some of those things. It's fantastic. I mean, it's opened my eyes, Driving and Crying. I don't think about it as a blues band, but he does. And then he played a song called Caroline, which I totally forgot about, from Slick Lily. He's like, I hope I don't. So, dude, it's your show. I have no qualms about what's being played on the Austin Hanks Blues Almighty show, because it's fantastic. I'm telling you, if you get a chance, let's do it. And we're archiving all these shows, and once we get about 10 shows in, we'll put them back out so you can go back and listen to some of the other ones. We obviously want to get listenership to Tony Curry Radio on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, and then the Damon Johnson show. But I was blown away, man. I mean, I listen to the station all day anyway, but I was like, I love all the shows. And Adapter Parish, I'm a business owner, so hosting it, you're my friend, I'm thinking, and you're killing it. So yeah, it's fantastic. It's great stuff. So we were talking about curling has become quite the sport. We don't really watch it a whole lot.
I love it.
Yeah, I do too. It's very, very interesting. It's shuffleboard on ice, and you know, it's not really how you look. And then we talked about the Norwegian curling calendar that really caused a lot of controversy, but they had to raise money, and it was a sex thing, and it sold, and people, and that, you can make an argument that's what put curling on the face of the earth. And so they had a qualifier this past week that was supposed to be on NBC, and they didn't play it, and it was because of an advertiser that they superimposed on the ice. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes right here on Tony Curry Radio. It's really, really
interesting. By the way, I had a conference call the other day talking about somebody in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And we were talking about just things that we like to do for activities during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about the stuff that I do, and he's like, well, yes, I'm on a curling team. And I'd never met. I said, really? I said, which one are you? Are you the dramatic shuffleboard person? Which is, I told you, that's who I would be.
Yeah, or are you the scraper?
The scraper.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, no, he's like, in our team, we rotate roles. And I also asked him about the rules, and he started explaining it, and okay, that's fine.
No, it's like shuffleboard. If you like shuffleboard, the problem with curling is we normally attach ourselves to sports that we can actually do ourselves. That's why soccer is the most internationally well-known sport, because all you need is a ball and a goal and you're good to go. Golfing is different because you need golf clubs. Hockey is different because you need sticks and you need ice. Football, to an extent, is something that we all play. A lot of people have, you know, post-Thanksgiving dinner football games between family members and stuff, and that seems to be a big thing. Curling is one of those things where you really, you can do it anywhere, right? We have an ice skating rink here. You could do it there. But as far as in curling leagues, so I don't know, like, you know, nine ball or what's some of these other, that game you were
pickleball?
Telling me about, pickleball.
Oh, love
those are things you can do like in a backyard. Badminton, tennis, not so much because you need to have a tennis court. You need to go somewhere where there is a tennis court. Curling is one of those things where, I mean, I don't even know where you, I don't even, what do they call it, stone? What do they call that big ass thing with the handle on it?
Get it at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Now, you know, you could get like your Roomba.
Yes.
And just ride it across the kitchen floor.
I was trying to think of other things you could get, yeah.
There are different ways.
Ice, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know how much upside there is. I think it's incredible and fun to watch. And I do think they're athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in great shape.
Somewhere between.
Their bodies are all distorted and they're rolling over things. And it does help to have a calendar, you know, while you're curling with no clothes on. That helps to do that. But anyway, this particular controversy is actually, I think, going to help the sport more than it's going to hurt it, despite the fact that it get the national coverage on NBC like they were hoping. They were really disappointed. So we'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk some more college football.
Did you see Lincoln Riley's introduction at USC?
I did.
Oh, my God. And, come on, USC.
And now there is a congressman in Oklahoma that's proposing a highway dedication.
To Lincoln?
To Lincoln Riley.
Good. That's great.
Yeah. That's a really weird. That was one of those Brian Kelly things I get. It's taken me a while to understand it. But he's going to a wonderful organization. He's in the SEC. He gets to play a conference championship now. I get it. At first, I was like, why would you want to go from Notre Dame to LSU? The Lincoln Riley thing is still a head-scratcher to me because I'm kind of going, okay, you're going to the SEC next year, Oklahoma is. So you're going to be an SEC coach, and along with that comes a lot of resources and comes better facilities and comes more money. Why are you wanting to go to a Pac-12 that the majority of the country doesn't see because of the time difference? You're going to a conference that has not been well represented in the college football playoff system at all.
It's freaking L.A., dude.
Maybe his wife. Is he married?
I don't know, but I mean, I swear I thought. Do you know the deal, the terms of his deal?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Okay.
I'm sure he's getting crap ton of money.
Okay. So let's make an assumption that he's
leaving Oklahoma unless he's getting paid.
Okay. So let's make assumption A, he's making more money, although the price, cost of living is a lot more there. But let's assume he's making more money, number one. Number two, he's young. Mm-hmm. Number three, and I'll give you, but USC has a history of being a powerful football team. It's there. It's not an obscure. Okay. Sure. And I almost think it's not like the Brian Kelly, but psychologically, I do think this. I think it's almost like, okay, we're going to go to the SEC. I'm going to be taken down. I'm going to be going down a path, almost like a corporate path. Mm-hmm. I'm going down in operations and they're giving me a promotion and I'm going to be part of the big players. And you know what? I just don't want to. I don't want to do that. That's not really what I want to do, and I do think it's interesting because he's young enough in his coaching career that it's not a surprise that he might want to do something different.
According to Robert Heffner V, who is a beat reporter for USC, he's going to get $110 million. USC is buying both his homes in Norman for $500,000 over the asking price. They're buying a $6 million home for him in L.A.
And unlimited
use of a private jet 24-7 for family. Thanks. So
I'm 38 years old. I don't care how much you love football. And let's just say, it's not a crappy football program.
No, it might have been. That's a lifetime deal. I mean, and it's probably fully guaranteed. So if Oklahoma's
too.
And quite frankly, they got him. Oklahoma was a weird team this year. I think at one point they were 8-0, but they were having a difficult time getting by. And so maybe his agent said, listen, now you're going to get on the SEC. You're going to be going against, you know, all these you're going to be going against Brian Kelly. You're going to be going to Nick Saban. Maybe you go to the Pac-12 and just get fat and rich, be the big fish.
I mean, let me ask you this. You know,
if he can win a championship at USC, he's not only going to be rich, but he's going to be a hero.
Let me ask you this. We always talk about, and we know with athletes that, you know, in order to reach the highest level, for the most part, you've got to be obsessed with it. To the point of, and if you talk to athletes, to the point of, it is, the rest of us would look back and say it's unhealthy.
Yep.
You've heard me say this when you all with Jay. Professional athletes sit right on that. If I looked at what they do and the focus on their sport and all of that. And I just thought about it psychologically. I'd be like, that it's not really healthy from an overall lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's just not. And every player's talked about it. They talk about, you know, you make money. Okay. But is it unrealistic to say a coach or even a player looks at the money, looks at sort of his or her life and lifestyle and says, yeah, I could be rich and be this amazing coach for Oklahoma and the SEC. But you know what? I'm 38 years old. This is great. I mean, like this isn't about, I guess what I'm saying is this, it's not just about football.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say for a coach? It's not just about football. Because we want to believe it's all about football. And I call BS on it. I don't think it's always about just football.
No, I mean, we think about the Rich Rodriguez situation where he was going to be the coach at Alabama and his wife said no. That was the reason. And a lot of people thought it was because I thought she looked like a capuchin monkey. That's neither here nor there. No, I mean, she was the one that said, yeah, it's a decision, and you hope that if your husband's doing extremely well and you want to, you know, do whatever you possibly can do to further his career because you know that you're going to be part of that and blah, 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 and you're obviously going to be with him. But in this particular case, I think his wife was the one that said, and you can make a point that she kind of killed his career to an extent because he didn't do a whole lot after that. Of course it's more about football. It's life. Life's bigger than football.
So it makes sense from the Lincoln Riley. I mean, if you're sitting down with the family and you're like, what, and you're the family and I don't know if he's got kids or whatever. Think about what he just said. All right, we're gonna pay you all this money. We're going to give you an extra $1 million over whatever we sell your house for. Yeah. And by the way, let's just talk about, you know, real life stuff. You don't have to worry about selling your house. We'll take care of that.
Yeah.
Right? You've been through this. I've been through this. Okay. But so then we're going to bring you here. We're going to give you unlimited resources. And we're going to give you a jet. And we're going to buy you a $6 million home. Yeah. I'm not interested.
I don't know what he had at Oklahoma. I'm assuming he was taken care of.
It's Oklahoma. Nothing personal. But like,
ultimately, though, I think coaches want to go where they feel like they can win national championships.
You think so?
But it's nice to know now at this point that, you know, and we see these buyouts. It's nice to know now that you know, after 2 or 3 years, you get 3 years. You get a chance to bring your kids in. After 3 years, you're done. It used to be 4 or 5 years because you had to bring your kids in. And if you won a championship 1 or 2 years after you got there, it was with the previous coach's kids, and you just knew what to do, what was in the cupboard.
Right.
But now you're getting, you know, $50, $60, $70 million buyouts. And so it's kind of like, take a shot, because Lincoln, you know, if he keeps it clean and doesn't have any Title IX or sexual harassment cases against him at USC, he's going to be good to go. I remember Pete Carroll being there and just remember just how huge USC was and all the celebrities that were on the sidelines.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
It was just amazing.
We love to beat them every time of year.
Yeah, I'd love to see USC get back to that, so that'd be great. Speaking of sports, curling. The first time I saw curling was about 3 or 4 Olympics ago. I was at some bar doing a gig or something, and all these guys were just staring at the TV, and it was the Norwegian curling team, and they had just had the calendar out, and I'm like, what are y'all watching? They're like, curling, it's great, let's love it. It was fantastic, and then obviously it became kind of a novelty, and more people watched it. Now I don't think anyone really watches a lot of it.
We had the U.S. team win.
Yeah, I know, right? So in an effort to reach a larger international market, it got sponsored. It's getting sponsored by a lot of things. An Olympic qualification event in the Netherlands that was happening this past week, about 90 minutes north of Amsterdam. You ever been in Amsterdam?
No. Yeah, I know. My kid has.
Go to the red light district, man. You got to go to the red light district one time.
Access.
Anything goes. Anything goes.
That's what he said.
It's crazy. And every nightclub has a downstairs and an upstairs. The upstairs for drinking. The downstairs
like the
is
Playboy
for
Mansion.
Smoking, drinking, and partying and... Man, I mean, it is wide open, but it is regulated. Like, if you're trying to run something on the side, you're going to go to prison for the rest of your life. They'll look the other way, but it's going to be regulated. It's going to be taxed. There's something to be said about that. 14 teams, including the United States, were competing for the final 2 co-ed berths in the Beijing Winter Games coming up in February. So one of the sponsors said, "We are extremely proud to be the main sponsor of the Olympic Curling Qualification Tournament. Is a sport that everyone can participate in, and this is precisely the beauty of this sport in times when people more than ever are looking for connections. Only by publicly promoting our mission can we start the conversation about sexual wellness And once again, it appears that this is still badly needed. We continue to break taboos and will not be wiped off the face of the earth. That is from the official sponsor of this particular qualification, Easy Toys.
Okay.
It's a Dutch sex toy company.
Love it.
Perfect. Efforting to reach curling fans, led broadcasters to cancel their coverage of the very important tournament this past Sunday. About 15 minutes before NBC was supposed to air it, it was on the schedule. It was on the ice.
Somebody upstairs went.
Yeah. A sexual paraphernalia website bills itself as the market leader in Netherlands and Belgium. It sells exactly the type of things you would expect from a sex toy company called Easy Toys. And there it is. And I'm not sure what their logo looks like.
I would love to see their logo.
But they had their logo on the ice. And they're like, no, as part of the sponsorship, Easy Toys ads were displayed in four spots on the playing surface. Its name was also printed alongside the hog line. What's that?
It's just that it wasn't broadcast. They still were able to sponsor, but NBC, the entity, would not show it.
Yeah, rather than being wiped off the ice, which they could have done computer-wise, because it's right. you can generate things on fields now, and you can do it in baseball games, yeah. Everything else. The entire broadcast was wiped by NBC. When viewers went to tune in to watch the U.S. duo play Japan on Saturday, they found that it was not available.
How prude of us.
The tournament's promoter, organizer informed the World Curling Federation of its sponsorship a few weeks ago. We informed them which sponsors they were. Mm-hmm. We spoke to them about the position. I can imagine they're surprised about the reaction, but not surprised about the sponsors we have. Their tagline was "Make curling sexy again."
Love it.
Despite the way again, in which things have played out,
yeah,
the tournament will go on, and in some ways, the controversy might be even a greater ploy for Easy Toys than the on-ice sponsorship itself, because we're talking about it.
So interesting, so sociological, anthropological, psychologically interesting. I mean, so the first thing that came to my mind, remember we used to do free association on the web?
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you said that, my first thing in my mind was Peroni commercial. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah.
Because, first it was ED stuff. No, first it was condoms.
Yes.
Right,
for people who don't remember, you were not allowed to have condom commercials.
Right.
We in terrestrial radio, we can now. And that was only from a corporate standpoint. From a local standpoint, you couldn't do condom commercials for Trojan or whatever. And then, obviously, you couldn't do liquor commercials until about 15 years ago. It was considered taboo. You could do beer commercials, and Budweiser, one of our great sponsors, Anheuser-Busch and Gaston and Birmingham Budweiser. We love having them on. I talked to Big Dave last night. They're killing it. They're doing great during the COVID thing and certainly coming out. Budweiser is the beer choice for everything. You could not do hard liquor. It was an FCC, like, don't go there. And that's why you never saw hard liquor billboards either. You couldn't advertise hard liquor.
Except in Kentucky.
Or you weren't allowed to. No. You couldn't do billboards or any type of
Hennessy,
ads.
Nothing
on TV. And now it's everywhere. Once that door opened, it was on.
But that's what to think about it. And then, may rest in peace, Bob Dole. Dole made Viagra about as mainstream. He brought Viagra across the generation, right? We talk about it. And then we had, if you think about some of the pharmaceutical companies, we had companies that did sort of herpes medication and that kind of stuff, HIV-related stuff. But I think what's interesting about it is then there was this big gap until we started seeing only in the last couple years, Peyronie's disease, which... I mean, again, like you said, you got the eggplants and the twisted zucchinis and all that kind of stuff. What's fascinating to me about that is we'll talk about Trojans. We'll talk about ED. We'll talk about problems with your anatomy and configuration of your genitalia.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about colon care. We got a box telling us to wipe our butt.
That's
and put
true.
In the box.
Vaginal drying and itching, right?
Yep.
But let's just go jock itch and fungus stuff. We go all that. And what's interesting is that at least right now, we're like, okay, in this country, we'll do all of that. We can't do sex toys. Like, it's just really interesting. Didn't we have a law? Wasn't there some law here in this state about dildos? There was like a dildo law.
I'm not sure.
I think there was. There was something about a dildo law, like they were illegal. Remember, they were going to make sex toys illegal.
Yeah, well, the difference is for everything that you stated a few minutes ago, there's some type of pharmaceutical reference to the majority of it. Because those are issues. Peyronie's is obviously an issue that can affect not only
same with ED.
Scar tissue, ED.
Yeah. But not Trojans?
Yeah, to an extent.
So it's a public health. It's a
public health thing. So sex toys is like, it's a supplement. You don't have to have sex toys to have great sex. It may help you, and you may need sex toys in order to perform.
Okay, you're making a good
but you
point.
Don't need it. It's not a physiological. Well, logical. Yeah. It's something that it can add pleasure, and it is taboo. So I could see where, now if they did something like a Peyronie's ad, I think NBC airs it because it's a pharmaceutical-based type of fix, if you will. It's not a supplemental.
What about hard liquor? Would this fall into the hard liquor area?
No, I think hard liquor is just out there now. I think that's just
no. But I'm saying, would you throw sex toys kind of in the same area? I mean, you don't need it. It's not for a medical condition. But used responsibly, I can do a commercial with sex toys. Used responsibly, it can enhance your lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay. You sound like you just did like a Jack Daniels commercial. We can enhance your lifestyle.
Well, it is.
Liquid encouragement, we call that.
Do you think we'll ever see it?
What, sex toys?
Sex toy commercials at a national level.
Well, we got it in Belgium and Netherlands. They're already doing it.
Yeah, no,
We're just not doing it here.
No, I'm saying
I do think I like the fact that at some point because it's all about the money grab.
Yeah.
at some point, everything's for sale. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how big this Dutch sex toy company is, and if they go to NBC and say, we'll give you $1 billion to put us on your ice, would they go, everything's got a price to it. I like the fact that they're standing put and saying, listen, things are getting out of control here. I mean, seriously, there are some things. I'll go back. When I first started doing the opening drive with Alan Jay, there was a deal where we weren't allowed to run beer commercials in the mornings.
In the morning.
And I will just say this right out. Jay was a great Christian guy, and he didn't feel comfortable running. He's like, why would we want beer ads at 8 o'clock in the morning? I said, you know, radio is a residual effect. It doesn't mean people are going out to buy beer at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I had a huge relationship with Budweiser.
I was going to say you were doing Budweiser.
And I said, I can't do the show without having Budweiser on. Because I was doing Bud Light game nights, and I was doing other things
but
that we didn't promote.
But he was concerned about it in the
mornings. Yeah. And so he was like, fair enough. I understand it good, and to Jay's credit, he understood that. But I mean, that's how crazy it got. We used to never play men's entertainment places. We couldn't run Sammy's commercials.
Yes, I forgot about that.
There were no Sammy's commercials. You couldn't run Conan commercials, Sammy's commercials, or beer commercials, beer ads in the mornings. And of course, I got that changed because I was like, do you want me to bring revenue or not?
Right.
Or in because. You know, you don't run Sammy's just when you can go. You run it because people here are coming in.
Right.
Oh, that's a good idea. After work today, we'll go to Sammy's or we'll go to the furnace or whatever. Now, you know, to that point.
Well, we have companies locally that advertise.
Yeah, but I mean, the Birmingham Men's Clinic.
Well, no, I was going there.
But I mean, but there's a lot of different things, and they.
The men's clinic.
Rounded out as, you know, a pharmaceutical kind of thing.
Well,
maybe you don't have any medical issues, but this can enhance your sexual thing.
We did
Wave Tech here on Tony Curry Radio.
About,
of course, we're internet, so we don't have any rules.
What about love stuff? We'll just use locally. That's what I mean. They run commercial. They got billboards.
Sure. Yeah. They can do whatever
so we just
they
want. We haven't made it. It hasn't made. Well, you know, part of the thing that may be, and you made a good point. It's one thing to advertise locally, but the cost of advertising nationally with NBC, internationally, it's cost you more.
Yeah, the company itself, the National Broadcasting Company, can take or leave any type of advertising they want.
Right.
It's not a publicly owned company. I mean, if they have stock, obviously, but it's run by a company, and they're like, we don't want to run commercials for, and they could do this with Peyronie's or anything else. And so it's their call on whether they want to do that or not. There's no legality to it. If you want to run Trojan commercials on a Christian radio station, they're going to say no. It doesn't fit what they're doing. And NBC, particularly for an event That is as family oriented as it gets. You don't want to do that. You know, and I think that's where it comes from. And I stand by that. I mean,
no,
that's great. Good for them. Culturally speaking, we are very staunch and stick in the mud when it comes to sexuality. And if you go to Amsterdam, I went there for a couple of nights and it was like, I could not believe what I saw. It's crazy to me,
it's the difference between, you know, the kid going into college who's never had alcohol before.
Yeah.
Right. Gets there and just goes nuts and is drunk every night, vomiting everywhere, you know, belligerent and all this stuff because he or she's just, it hasn't been a part of their culture.
Yeah.
Right. And I sort of feel like, particularly in European countries, we talked about this, nude beaches, some of the bikini cuts, some of the stuff you see in Amsterdam, it's acculturated. It's not this like bunged up waiting to explode, if you will. Sorry about the pun. So I think that's the, and we don't like that in this country because we see that as that's not good. It's immoral, all those kinds of things. But like you said, for them, it's not out of control.
Yeah. Well, you can find it here. I think that's why OnlyFans is so big here. This is the biggest country in the world that does OnlyFans. That's why the porn industry has exploded here because it's so taboo and it's available and people can find it here. And again, you go to Europe at midnight in a disco and they're showing porn
right
on a big screen television and no one's looking at it. It's just
so is that good or is that bad?
It's the same as having a dancer on stage or a bartender that can flip bottles.
Is that bad or good?
No, I just think they're years ahead of where we are.
Yeah.
You know, from those type of, and to our credit, you know, I don't know what sexual assault's like over there. I don't know what their pregnancy rate is over there. I don't know all those things. I don't know how that's affected them.
It's lower.
But I mean, this is not something. Well, we talk about the Lynn Park. You know, what's socially acceptable?
Exactly.
If you can walk through Lynn Park topless and no one says anything, then it's socially acceptable to do so.
Right.
You can do that in a lot of different places in Europe, but we're not ready for that. No. But you also have to understand we're a country of only 250 years old.
That's a good point.
It's taken thousands of years in some cases for them to get to that point. They've been around a lot longer, and we're still trying to find ourselves.
We're toddlers running around.
We're a four-year-old. We really are. This country's incredibly young. We're still the best country, I think, in the world. But we're still prepubescent, for God's sakes. We're still trying to find ourselves. Yeah, you know, they're running, you know, sex toy commercials, and we haven't even touched ourselves yet.
That's true.
Holy cow, what the hell is that? That feels weird. Mom drove really quick over a hill the other day and I liked it. You know, meanwhile they're building hills over in Europe just so they can run 30 miles an hour over them. So yeah. Good for NBC by standing by their morals. But again, it's all about the money. If they pay enough to get it done, and good for Easy Toys for putting this out because you knew that
they knew.
Yeah. I mean, just be careful because when you open up that Pandora's box, because once you set
it's a sex toy.
Yes, I'm sure they have a Pandora's box toy next to their pink dildos. Once you allow that to happen,
all hell breaks.
Then you're
loose.
Setting precedent.
That's
you're
right.
Saying,
and our society is.
Wait a minute. We ran a condom commercial last Thursday. Why can't I run one on Sunday after church? Why not? It's Sundays. We don't run beer ads on Sundays. Really? What's the difference?
Yep.
Because not everyone goes to church and not everyone, you know, works 9 to 5. Some people are, you know.
That's right.
So that's why the whole Sunday beer sales here was the dumbest thing ever. It's like.
You know where we live? You know where we live? The dividing street? You know, you can go across the street.
Yeah. I'm like.
One side's Shelby County.
There's a lot of people like to drink on Sundays. And some people buy their liquor on Sundays and they don't drink it till later on in the week. But to sit there and say that liquor stores are closed on Sundays because it's Sunday. Oh, come on.
You can't buy it.
You can't buy it on Sundays. Liquor stores were closed on Sundays. I think it's wide open. But
I should have journaled when I moved here. That was another one of my, I told you, I've had my sort of Alabama experiences where it was like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I wanted to look into a camera and just go, whoa, you know, or really? So when I had first moved here, I was buying my groceries and I had a bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to drink it on Sunday. I just
the lights are off in the grocery stores on Sundays.
Well, no, but it just, really? I grabbed it and I just, the thing, and it wasn't early. It wasn't like 6 a.m. Maybe it was like 10:30, 11. And they were bringing all my groceries. It was really interesting the way they did it. They took my bottle of wine and they just, it passed through and they put it like over to the side and they didn't say anything. You know, and I had just moved here. I'm like, well, that's odd. Yeah. I wonder, maybe they're going to put it in a special, maybe here they put it in like a paper bag or whatever. Yeah. And I checked out and rang it up and I said, you forgot my wine. Oh, no, sweetie. You can't, no. I'm like, no, what? Here's my card. I'm 35 years old. Yep. No, not on Sunday. Like, you can't have it on Sunday? Not till 12. I'm looking, I'm like, it's 11. Can you just cut me some slack?
Not till 12.
Cut me some slack.
Do you remember growing up? I mean, this was around the country. You couldn't buy alcohol on Sundays. But do you remember on Saturdays, man? God, if someone didn't make that call to go pick up the keg or whatever it was for Sunday for watching NFL stuff, did anyone get the beer? Because they're closed today.
We had liquor stores 7 days a week.
Yeah. Not down here.
What about in Kentucky?
No, you couldn't buy alcohol on Sundays.
One of the greatest things I ever saw in my entire life was a liquor supermarket, liquor superstore when I went to Kentucky for the first time. I had never seen anything like it. It was like freaking Publix, Walmart, but all liquor.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never seen it. It blew me away. Here's the
liquor superstore. It's great.
Here's the bourbon aisle.
Yeah.
We used to go visit Julie's family. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know me, I don't drink that much. I was like, just drop me off at the liquor superstore so I can walk up and down the aisles. Yep. It had sort of like a World Market feel, meets Walmart, meets liquor.
We had one right across the street from our radio station in Jeffersonville, Indiana.
That's dangerous. Mm-hmm.
And I used to put a Stairway to Heaven on.
Oh, and that's what you can
prove. I could run over there, get me 4-pack of Jim Beam and Cokes and come back over. I mean, it's times have changed a lot. I remember when...
this is our Times Have Changed segment.
Yeah, I remember I remember up in Tuscaloosa when Northport started allowing Sunday liquor sales, and it wasn't that long ago, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And Tuscaloosa was like, it's never going to happen here. Yep. And it did, because Northport was taking all their liquor money from all the college kids. They're like, okay, times have changed.
Marijuana commercials, that's what we're next. They're going to be local, but that's what we're going to see next. Marijuana dispensary national commercials.
You know Lynchburg, Tennessee?
Yeah.
You know what's made there?
Jack Daniels.
You know it's a dry county?
Well, they just make it, right?
You cannot drink Jack Daniels.
At all.
No.
It's dry county.
It's dry county. You can't drink in that county.
So now this is interesting. Can you, as part of your job?
There's not many of those left.
Part of your job, as part of your job, you have to. Sip it, taste it.
Maybe off premise.
No.
Maybe you have to bottle it up and take it to the next county.
No, they're making it. Like, you got to like taste the mash or whatever it's called.
Well, they probably have to taste it at the point where it's not really considered liquor yet.
Or spit it out. Oh, it's like soaking. Soaking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what you do.
Yeah, it's like soaking.
Spit it in a cup.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it was dry.
It's a dry county. I'm a Tennessee squire. I own a plot of land up there.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Why?
I used to be a big Jack Daniels guy, and I met a guy and went up there and did the whole tour. It was fantastic.
You just bought some land?
And no, they give it to you. There's only a select few people that are considered Tennessee squires. They sent me a letter like every month. Yeah. It's a foot by foot on Lynchburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
Because they love me.
Did you, how much Jack money Daniels. Did you give them? How much Jack Daniels did you buy?
I used to drink some Jack Daniels now.
Okay.
Yeah. But they send you letters for Tennessee
like
squires.
Buying a star?
It'll say something like, you know, hey, there was a goat, you know, on your plot of land and he left a gift for you, just letting you know, kind of thing. It's funny.
That's genius. Mm-hmm. We should do that with the studio here. You can buy a square. We didn't even know we can measure it because it's carpet square.
We're for sale for the right money. I'll put a Jack Daniels sign behind me.
Sex toys?
Mm. We were trying to get love stuff on. We were perfect for it.
I went back and looked at, we did a love stuff commercial.
Yeah.
We had a love stuff proposal.
Yep.
You should call them. Mm. You took the. You were the one who put the picture.
Well,
the
you know, for a company like that, where there are a lot of companies because radio stations wouldn't run their commercials. And television stations sure as hell wouldn't run their stations. They do now because obviously eventually they're like, the money's right. Let's go ahead and give it a shot. We'll see what happens, but keep it clean. You know, be careful. We're gonna shoot the commercial for you. And we'll make sure we know what's in all the frames and all that stuff because you're not sending your stuff. And so, you know, those are good companies to get a hold of because they don't have a lot of outlets to advertise.
No, except for the billboards.
Because a lot of people won't, you know, allow them to do it. But even their billboards is you really don't. I mean, you get an idea of what they are.
Yeah.
But hell, you drive through Tennessee.
Oh, I know.
And every billboard is a gentleman's club with the woman, you know, the blue eyes.
But you just can't drink liquor.
God, and then you...
What the
then you pull up.
Do you see the hip? I mean, this is us. You're right. We're toddlers. Like, we can't figure it out. No.
We're out of control. We can't handle it. in Cleveland, and I'm sure this is, and I think it was in Atlanta too. Now, this should tell you the last time I was in a strip club. On the topless side, you could drink. On the bottomless side, you couldn't drink. There was a club in Cleveland, I think it was called The Garage, and if you wanted a drink, you got to see the girls topless. But if you wanted to go to the bottomless side, there was no drinking. And I'm like, what?
You couldn't even bring your drink across.
No drinking on the bottomless side.
Mm.
But you could drink on the topless side. And I just was kind of like.
See that? You know what that is?
And I mean, if you got caught trying to bring some in, you were gone. You got thrown out in the alley. And I'm thinking to myself.
This tells us
as men that we can't control ourselves drinking and seeing the bottomless part, but we can't see the topless part. I'm like, really?
This is either somebody's it's either someone's lawyer advising them,
or state legislators.
Or state. That's
we're going to allow you to get a bottomless, but no drinking. Right. And they make the deal. Okay. All right. I mean, how stupid is that?
I know.
Like, I can't drink Jack Daniels.
But you know what you can do? I was just, okay, let's even go one step further. I told you when I was in Charleston.
Yeah.
And we have it here too. We have axe throwing. So that's a thing. They're real axes. And like, if you throw it, if you turn around and threw it the wrong way, you would kill somebody.
Sure.
At the place we have here, which is, it's awesome. I absolutely love.
No, real quick. Don't you find it really, really bizarre that we don't have mass murders, mass casualty events at places where it would seem to be the easiest to do it? You don't ever hear of mass murders at a hatchet throwing place.
Well, no, because.
Or even at a gun range.
Yeah, at a gun. Well, because gun range is probably more protective.
Well, yeah, but most people that open fire on anything know that they're not.
No, because
at
a gun range, they'll shoot you. So that makes
Well,
the
yeah,
argument.
But I mean, you're going to get shot by police if you open up
yeah,
a
but
mall,
there's 12,000
too.
There's 10, 15 people with guns there turning it back on you. The hatchet thing I don't understand, and we shouldn't be, okay, we got to stop doing this. We have a public duty. But what my point was is at the place here locally, you can bring your own alcohol. They don't serve alcohol, but you're welcome to bring like picnic baskets. It's inside, but people bring like dinner. Yeah. And you're allowed to bring wine. But I go to the one in Charleston, and they're bringing you drinks as you're throwing your axes.
Sure.
And the distance between, it's like you go bowling. You go bowling and there's the place where you sit and then everybody sits in the little section right behind, right? And you're pretty close. If somebody dropped the ball backwards, it could roll and hit you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like that, right? And it's happened. We've seen it happen. But this is like that with axes and drinking. So you're drinking and you got a few drinks in you. Then you go up and throw your axe. Right, I know. And there's people sitting behind, and there's your party sitting behind you. And when you go put the axe behind your head, the distance between your axe and my drink is probably about a foot.
Wow.
Yeah. That made me very, I was quite uncomfortable.
You can drop your axe, but don't spill my drink.
Yeah, don't drop your axe in my drink.
All right, okay. So it's getting towards the end of the year. It is, was it the 9th of December? And we're getting a lot of lists. Now everyone's coming out with lists for the year. And I found this great list that I put it out on Tony Curry Radio on Twitter as well as Facebook and Instagram. The top 10 rock stories of 2021. These are the most controversial stories. Do you remember any of them?
No.
We went through every one of them. I was pleasantly surprised like that
Phil Collins and his dirtiness or whatever.
That wasn't on here.
Okay. Ozzy?
That wasn't on here either. First one was, and these are in no necessary order, the Nirvana being sued by the Nevermind Baby.
Oh,
remember the guy that was on? He was
going to be all a bunch of oh yes.
He was suing, and of course that was thrown out. Dave Elfelson, the cyber sex scandal, Megadeth bassist and co-founder David Elfelson found himself in hot water after graphic images and text exchanges between himself and a fan were leaked online. Rumors quickly spread the woman involved was actually an underage girl. He got thrown out of the band. That was one of the things. Do you remember when the Grammys did their tribute to Eddie Van Halen?
Yeah.
They didn't. It was a very short 10-second piece. A lot of
yeah,
like,
it was.
That's it?
Yeah.
The Grammys were right after he passed away in October.
True. Yeah, I do remember that.
That was a collective response from rock fans who tuned into the Grammy Awards broadcast in March. Most viewers expected the Grammys to honor Eddie Van Halen, the iconic Van Halen guitarist who died in October 2020. And during the memoriam segment, a camera panned to one of Van Halen's famous striped guitars, and that was it.
Why did they?
They asked Wolfgang to perform, and he didn't want to do it. And
yeah.
I think there was an opportunity to do more there for Eddie, but it was like they did not.
Okay.
Yeah, they did not give him. Eric Clapton stirring controversy with his COVID views.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
He did get vaccinated. Said he wished he hadn't. said it almost killed him.
Jeez.
And then he came out and said that he reserved the right to not play venues that would not allow non-vaccinated people to see him. Yet when he played New Orleans, there was a vaccine mandate that had to see the show, and he played it anyway.
This is like the topless versus bottomless.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Bruce Springsteen arrested for DWI.
Oh, yes.
That was in February. The public learned that Bruce Springsteen had arrested and charged with driving while intoxicated. He was on his motorcycle consuming alcohol in a closed area in a park.
Yep.
The accusation stemmed from an incident in November 2020 when the legendary singer-songwriter was riding his motorcycle through New Jersey's Gateway National Recreation Area, and someone said, "Would you do a shot with me?" He did. The cop saw it. He gets on his bike. He got arrested. He got let go. The Marilyn Manson accused of abuse thing.
Yeah. Oh, man, I forgot about that one.
You know.
Okay.
Growing up, we were Kiss to an extent, Alice Cooper, Iron Maiden, that dynamic black gothic.
Well, Black
and
Sabbath.
We knew it was an act. Black Sabbath to an extent, yeah.
No,
satanic.
But oh, I know where you're going. I understand. The more costume based.
Yeah, I was kind of like, okay, it was an act. And then some people took it too far. Marilyn Manson, the scary thing about that dude is the way he looks, and now we're finding out that he's exactly who we thought he was. You know, I didn't think for a minute that Alice Cooper was, you know, molesting children and doing, despite the fact he was spitting blood and having snakes around his neck during shows. Evan Rachel Wood, whom he obviously had a relationship with, came forward with allegations she was horrifically abused by Marilyn Manson for years. I was brainwashed and manipulated into submission. And he's still being...
Didn't he lock himself up in his house and wouldn't come out?
He had a bad girl's room in his house that he used to psychologically torture women. In November, police searched Manson's home as part of a still ongoing investigation. It's still going on. Brian May nearly getting canceled over cancer culture comments. In late November of this year, he turned heads with some comments made to the UK's ITV network. He said, "I'm sure Queen would be forced to have people of different colors and different sexes and a trans person, but life doesn't have to be like that." After the all-inclusive non-gender artist of the year category, they basically said the Brit Awards eliminated male and female categories. They just made it an all-inclusive non-gender artist thing. He was asked about it, and he's like, "Yeah, these days you have to have an Asian, you have to have an Indian, you have to have a black person, you have to have a white person."
You know, that's super interesting.
Well, inclusive.
Well, I guess that's interesting. I guess it goes both ways.
He later stated that his words were subtly twisted and blamed predatory press hacks for making him seem unfriendly to trans people. Sincere apologies to anyone who's been hurt by these stories. My heart is open to all human beings of all colors, all creeds, all sex and sexualities, all shapes and sizes, and all creatures. He's just saying that if they started the band now, it may look different than it does.
I don't think that's true.
Metallica got censored.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. They were playing BlizzCon, a gaming convention. The iconic metal act was set to close the virtual event with a rendition of For Whom the Bell Tolls, delivered from its studio. However, the streaming on Twitch were met with a surprise twist. Rather than broadcasting performance in its natural state, the audio was cut out and replaced with a genetic synth music in a move to avoid later troubling regarding copyrights. Despite the fact the band said it was okay, the copyright protection by the applicable copyright holder read a message on screen. Meanwhile, fans were hoping to see and hear Metallica were understandably outraged.
I always thought you were going to say the Metallica-Mariah Carey mashup because that was one of the most controversial things ever.
That was horrible.
Like, what the
hell?
Well,
it was last year.
It was last year. And what the hell? I'm still having nightmares about that.
Love him or hate him, there's no denying Ted Nugent is a lightning rod for controversy. The right-wing rocker ended 2020 with an exclamation point calling COVID-19 not a real pandemic.
Until he got...
And emphatically declared, F you and your bullshit vaccine.
Yeah.
Less than 4 months later, Nugent announced he had contacted COVID-19 and thought he was going to die. He continued to voice his displeasure. He continued to voice his displeasure with vaccine mandates, mask laws, lockdowns, and other pandemic-related restrictions, but COVID comments weren't Nugent's only controversial remarks. The guitarist also used the N-word while describing the greatest compliment he's ever been given.
Yes, I remember that.
You remember that?
I would say that's the most controversial, don't you think? Of all those stories?
He considered it a compliment to be called the N-word.
We did a whole thing on that.
Yeah. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame snubs was the other one. We went through a list of top 100 bands that aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame based on a fan poll. There's always going to be debates over who does and does not deserve enshrinement in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but arguably the loudest cry came from those demanding metal artists get their due. Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Motorhead, Dio, and Motley Crue all remain on the outside looking in, including one Ozzy Osbourne, who, as a solo artist, should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think it's something against metal artists. I just think that it's not their time yet. It'll happen.
Molly Crue's metal?
Oh, yeah. They're considered metal.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, at the time when they came out, they were metal.
Really?
Yeah. They may have grown into something a little different.
Don't you? I mean, you just, of all the bands you just listed, I wouldn't have thrown Motley Crue in there.
Yeah. They were considered a heavy metal band when they first came out. Quiet Riot.
Well, Quiet Riot, yeah, but.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know if they'd call themselves heavy metal. They just call themselves a rock band, but that's what they were.
What's the difference between hard rock and rock? That was always a thing growing up. That was a thing. What's considered hard rock?
I don't see again.
I know.
Let's not.
You sound like when we do this.
Let's not compartmentalize. Don't compartmentalize because once you're one thing, you could be something else.
Okay. Now I feel like I'm in therapy.
Right. But, I mean, the next thing is a Billy Joel classic rock. His old stuff was. His newer stuff's not. Is Elton John classic rock? It used to be.
Okay. Is Motley Crue my metal?
I would say they're more probably glam rock than they are, or hair band rock.
That's what I was going to ask
metal.
You.
But at one point they were heavy metal.
Okay.
Yeah, if you put their music on and you didn't know who they were, you'd say they're a heavy metal band. Kickstart My Heart, that's not heavy metal.
No.
It's not classic rock.
No, it's hard rock.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, don't try to fixate. Don't say this is belong. Unless you're in a room under a bright light and someone says, you need to pick the genre that Motley Crue is in. Is it hard rock?
Hard
glam rock.
It's hard rock.
Yeah, you can be.
It's not metal.
You can be
okay.
Multiple. Shania Twain ain't a country music artist. She's a pop singer.
Was Taylor Swift a country?
Is Darius Rucker, is he a pop singer or is he a country star?
Well, he crossed what is over. He?
Okay, well, he's both.
He crossed
over. He still sings Hootie and the Blowfish stuff. So what is he, Josh?
They're back on tour. What is he? He crossed over. He's tapping into both.
Well, he's black. Is he urban? Is he hip hop?
No,
he's a black man.
Well,
that's okay. You can be all things. You can do all those things.
No, Darius Rucker is not hip hop.
Why is Dolly Parton in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Does it matter?
Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Carole King's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is actually not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, that
it is the Music Hall of Fame.
But it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sounds cool. And they So what they did is they started with the red widget and then they said, we can expand here. We're going to have to expand. Or you have to think outside the box here. We can't just be a Rock Hall of Fame. We have to, well, of course, we're going to open it up to other things. But our first introductory classes
this
will be rock
be
and roll artists.
A good topic for adapt.
You have to
perish.
Grow. I know. You should.
Because this is.
You do the damn thing. Show. You should know
no.
this. You need to adapt.
No,
you need
I don't
to change.
Like, I do not like in business when people claim that their product is this and it's really not. Oh, we've got a product for, you know, to help you improve your sleep. It plays nice music. No, so it's not a sleep product. It's a music product. I see this all the time.
Yeah,
I hate
it. But we like to put things in categories.
Right. So people understand what they're getting.
Yeah, but by calling it a music, it's too general. When you start something.
So why do they call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
That's what killed Sears. They tried to be all things to all people. They expanded too much. They were selling jeans on one aisle and washing machines on the other.
What I love about Sears.
Yeah, they're closed. They're closed now.
Okay,
they don't have Sears
Amazon
anymore.
Amazon get more? No, because Amazon is not a store.
Amazon, yeah, exactly.
No, see, they just, actually, but they do have their own product line, which pops up first. Bezos is, I mean, for as much of a dweeb as he is, dude, he.
I have to laugh. I was doing some shopping last night because I have to.
You went out?
No, I got online.
Oh, perfect.
Because most of the places, I figured I had a better shot at getting some of the things that Santa Claus was going to bring for the kids online.
Yeah.
And if you don't order by now, good luck. Yeah. It ain't coming. And so I was like, I had to pull the trigger and say, okay, let's do some shopping. And so I was looking for a particular toy, and I got on Amazon because I'm an Amazon Prime guy.
Yeah.
And then I saw that this thing was available at Kohl's.
Right now?
And by the time I bought it at Kohl's, they were actually paying me to take it off their hands. It was great. I love that store. I love Kohl's.
What do you mean they're
paying? I got $17,000 in Kohl cash last night by buying a $100 toy. It was awesome.
Yeah, but
I was putting in promo codes, and they're like, there's another $25. This morning, I got like 16 emails from Kohl's. I've got $17,000 in Kohl's cash because I bought one toy from Kohl's. I love that place. I don't know why I shop anywhere. If Kohl's, if you're watching right now, first of all, be a sponsor, Tony Kerr Radio. Yeah. Second of all, start selling groceries. I love Publix. My son works there. But if they could just start selling.
I was a big Kohl's.
You will get $400 worth of groceries for $5.
No, I love Kohl's because you go in, and it was the greatest thing. It's like, Mr. Claypo, you saved $975 today.
Yes, yes.
And I feel, what an amazing.
It's a bank. It's a bank.
It's marketing. It is marketing. It's beautiful marketing. I don't mean that in a negative way.
I don't see how they make money.
Right. You feel so, well, and then, so here's the part of the loyalty part. And Taylor does the same thing. Your Kohl's bucks, or your Kohl's points, bucks, Kohl's dollars,
Kohl's,
whatever they are.
Kohl's cash.
Right. But you can't use it now.
No.
Right. You got to use them at your next purchase.
Seriously, I bought something that was $86. Because it was over 75, I got free shipping, which was great. It's going to come tomorrow. And I got $75 in Kohl's cash.
For your next purchase.
And I'm going,
yeah.
I just paid six because I could use stuff at Kohl's. I'm wearing some of their clothes.
Yes.
I'm like,
I know.
It's almost free. It's almost free.
It's not almost free because you paid how much?
$86.
But you didn't get $86 back.
But I got $75 back, and it's cash I can use at the store.
Right, for your next purchase.
I know. So
it's marketing people.
So it's $75 worth of free stuff.
No.
I'm buying into the cults, man. I'm in the cult, dude. I'm in.
No, because do you understand what they're doing to you?
Yeah, they're making me shop there.
Right, so you can't.
But I'm not going to go to Kohl's just to spend $75
$75.
I need shit from there, man. Look at these pants. I got blue marks on my pants. Then I don't have any jeans.
Right, so you're going to go in.
I need stuff. I need to buy stuff. I'm not going. This is not suggested. Would you like fries with that? Would you like to go ahead and buy a plushy toy with your pair of jeans? No. I don't buy stuff I don't need, but I need to shop there, so I'm getting free clothes.
It's not free.
$75, I get free clothes.
But it's not free.
Ooh, they got underwear. And they got shoes. They got 15s and shoes. Please start selling groceries there. If you start selling electronics, they have a toy section. They have a toy section. And my credit is like, I got like a 137 credit score or something like that. I went in there and they gave me a credit card. I'm like, I love this place.
Of course. And if you start a credit card today, you get 10,000 Kohl's bucks and you get 20%.
Oh, yeah.
Not 20, like 40% off your purchase.
You can't pay. Don't worry about it.
Wait till February. You ever do that? If you're in the store, and
I put it on the Kohl's card. I made $75 last night because I didn't have to pay. I don't have to pay for it because it was on my Kohl's card.
Well, you do have to pay.
No.
This is sucker.
And it's 2.9%.
Marketing sucker right
oh, no.
there.
So it's free.
It's not free.
Why do you think so many people get credit cards right now? Because it's free till after the holidays.
Right.
So, next year we'll make more money.
What did you say we are?
After
like
that,
four
we'll
toddlers?
Make more money. Oh, yeah.
This is exactly.
We'll make more money next year.
Oh,
we can pay for it then. So not only did
great.
I get a free toy for Santa Claus, but I get $75 on top of that. I'm going to go buy some pants today.
$75.
Oh,
so you're going to have to go in there and spend
$100. Wait till I'm on Fox 6 today at 9:30 with my big blue stain on my thing.
Kohl's.
Someone put a pen in my pocket and then put it in the washer, and it was me. I'm going to put it on the other side so I make sure that
it looks good. Police is blue.
These jeans are from 1983. That's the only pair.
Well, that speaks to how good fit you are. Yeah, I noticed the bottoms are a little wide.
It's the only pair.
Well, actually, hang on, because you're right. They're coming back around.
You save everything.
Yes.
Life is cyclical. Save your pants from 1983. They'll be.
Dude, do you remember like the Vans he's wearing right now?
I
would have saved my Vans.
This is the last pair of pants I got. Every other
you
pair.
You should go. You just told me go to Kohl's. You have $75. You don't have to spend a cent.
I'm gonna go shopping again in the next 6 or 7 days. I'm gonna be a millionaire.
So if you went to Kohl's, so this would work. If you went to Kohl's,
yeah,
and you bought a pair of pants that cost $30, which you need.
Yeah.
And you bought a pair of shoes. Do you need shoes?
I always need shoes.
Okay, so you need and you
I need everything, man. How's the Queer Eye thing going? Is that working yet?
Yeah, I haven't checked in when they have not come back yet. I know. I'm gonna chop up this video we do right now because this is so you need help.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, I need you. I need you to help.
Look at him. It's good. I know.
Old clothes, old ways.
Well, but you're clean.
Using Kohl's credit
stink
cards.
Or anything.
No, I'm good. That's the one thing. Soap is cheap.
Did you get it on Amazon?
I don't need credit to get soap. I can actually afford that. There you have it. Talk about one of our great sponsors. Don't forget later on tonight, Austin Hanks Blues Almighty. We're going to get bluesy tonight. Man, the show last Thursday was one of the best shows I'd ever heard on the radio. I mean, on any radio station I've ever worked for, I was like, that show is killer. I co-host the Damon Johnson Show, so you know that's good. That'll run tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Make sure you get the Tony Curry radio app. Listen, I got like 12,000 people that follow me on Twitter. I don't know what I have on Facebook and stuff. If everyone watching right now or listening, well, download my app. I want you to download my app just for a second, download it, and then just tell me what you think. If you don't want to keep it, it's fine. I'm be honest with you. I'm be totally transparent. I love it. I think it's fantastic. It's great classic rock. We have great programs. So download the Tony Curry Radio app and then get on one of my social media if you're watching us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, and then let me know what you think and give me some ideas on how I can expand this thing and make it even bigger and better. It's fantastic. Download the Tony Curry Radio app and talk about couldn't do it without our great sponsors.
Oh, great
we have some killer sponsors. Talk about one of those.
Yeah,
right now.
One of our great partners is Woodhouse Day Spa. This is the time of year where people are trying to figure out two things. One, what do we get people? Two, why am I so stressed out? And Woodhouse Day Spa is going to solve your problems that way. You go up to Woodhouse Day Spa, located up at the Summit, 905-7676. Manicures, pedicures, facials, massages, half-day spa days, full-day spa days, 5,000 square feet of absolute luxury. Go online now and at their webpage, you can book any of the services. You can get beautiful gift cards that they have or gift certificates, which is just incredible pieces of art. And you can see the spa itself and all of the offerings. Again, the webpage is birmingham.woodhousespas.com. Webpage birmingham.woodhousespas.com and our great partner, Woodhouse Day Spa.
What do you want from me? Great song from Don't Say No from Billy Squire's album. That album had so much more than just The Stroke. We play a bunch of tunes off that album. It's fantastic. Get it right here on Tony Curry Radio. Download the Tony Curry Radio app. Do me a huge favor for the holidays, for a Christmas gift for Tony. Go tell all your friends just to download the Tony Curry Radio app and just listen to it on some Thursday or Friday night or Tuesday night or any night. Listen to it anytime you want. We have a huge listening base on Wednesdays. We did the Live Wire Wednesday last night. We were huge. We're huge in Australia. We had Great Britain, UK listening last night. We were like in 16 different countries. It was great. We do an all AC/DC show. It's a great app. It's free. The cool thing about it is it'll play, and once it's on, it's on. Some people don't like that because it continues to play, but unlike YouTube, once you get out of the screen, it continues to play. So you can listen to it wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. It will constantly play. You can play other games on it. You can get on other sites. You can do whatever. It will continue to play the entire time, which I love about our app. It's
great for Zoom calls in the background.
It really is.
It brings a whole level of energy to conference calls that you just wouldn't normally have.
And it really helps our time spent listening, too, which we love around here. The average person that listens to the Tony Curry Radio app listens an average about 40 minutes, which is three times longer than you would a terrestrial radio station.
I was going to say, that's long.
A lot of that has to do with the fact that most people listen to terrestrial radio in cars, but you can listen to us anywhere your phone is, and you have your phone with you 24 hours a day. Even when you're in bed, you have the phone.
Right.
It's fantastic. We've got some specialized programming we do every single Monday through Friday night, and, of course, the Curry and Klepa show every morning, 7:30 to 9:30, and again from 6 to 8, Monday through Friday as well. So download just do me a favor today. Tell five people, download the Tony Curry Radio app, just let me know what you think. Go to social media, TonyCurryRadio.net or Tony Curry Radio on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I'm also on LinkedIn. I don't get with those professional knuckleheads too much, but I will.
I just was going to say.
Hashtagging my ass off, man.
It warms my heart to see you on LinkedIn when you're posting stuff with your smile. There's your smile. You're almost like you're like a ray of sunshine coming into LinkedIn. Because LinkedIn's all about the power plays. Yeah. Right, we're writing all kinds of M&A stuff, right, and market trends, and then there's Tony.
Tony Curry on LinkedIn. I never thought in a man years Tony Curry on LinkedIn.
You're sending out this morning, sending out corporate, or last night, corporate memos.
Yeah.
Memo, that was what you sent out last night, that was a memo.
Yeah. Yeah, I've come a long way in the last year.
I'm
trying.
You have clearly adapted.
Yes, thank you.
You also.
I don't want to perish.
No, you don't want to perish. You know, you are a good example. Without getting into details, I think you're a really important psychological example. There are a lot of people who have maybe done one thing their whole career. Maybe have in school studied and been successful in one particular area.
Yeah.
And because of circumstances, and when I say circumstances, they didn't just decide to, or even if they did, this is the class, you know what? I always say this, instead of just saying bad things happen and force you to adapt, this is the person, I'm going to go start a bakery.
Yeah.
Because it's something I've always wanted to do, right? And the idea sounds super good. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've been in the restaurant business, I know about food and stuff. But if you've been you've been a car dealer.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a bakery.
Yeah.
How different could it be? I'm going to sell cars I'm going to make donuts or whatever. And you quickly learn, oh dear God, what have I gotten myself into?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this all this stuff. And then you're faced with this choice point. Now in some cases, you may have an opportunity to go back what you did, but in others, once you step out, you don't have the opportunity to go back.
Yeah.
And then the realization sits in that there's this whole set of things that I've got to learn to get to. My wife talks about this all the time. To get to the piece that I wanted to get to be the bakery that I wanted to be.
Yeah.
I have to learn how to bake.
Need dough.
Deal with distributors.
Yeah.
Right. I got to get ingredients. I got health department licenses. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. And it's really interesting to watch. I've watched you do this. I've watched my wife do this. I watched my mom do this. The pivot, and there's a passion there to do this part of it. And then you have to deal with or adapt to or manage all the crappy parts that have nothing to do with that. And for a lot of people, it taps them out.
Yeah.
But if you have the staying,
yeah, because most people don't have the financial resources to go hire people out. I would love to have someone cut my grass and do this, but I can't afford to do that.
Right, so you've learned how to do it.
So you have to learn to do it yourself. And
yeah, I mean, listen, I just in it. I had it when I left academics. Right, yeah. I was like, I can write research papers. How hard could it be to do business?
Yep.
And oh my God,
yeah.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you have a passion, do not let, and I've said this before, don't let the yucky parts keep you from it, but also be realistic. You and I had a conversation yesterday about sort of price points and revenue and be realistic in the sense that there may be parts I don't like, but I'm moving towards the goal that I need versus there's parts I don't like and I'm not reaching that goal.
Yeah.
Know when it's time to bail, but also know when it's time to dig in and ride with it. My wife has dealt with this over the last 5 years.
We're running a business is a lot like a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old child, because we want to do it on our terms.
Yes,
you know, I'm telling you, this is what you're going to do, and you're like, no, I don't. I'm not going to do that. I'm not getting vaccinated when I'm ready. And then you get the vaccine, and I'm like, what? You took so long. I just wasn't ready, but now I got it. I'm good. I'm like, okay.
It's true.
So you're continually told, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. You're like, I'm not doing it. I'm too old. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to send emails and blah, 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 blah. And then you finally realize it's time for me to get off my ass and make this happen because your way ain't working.
Yes.
And so you got to do it.
And yeah, yeah, so, yeah. And I do think, I mean, listen, that is a good learning lesson. Some people are more willing to adapt.
Yeah.
Others need to see the natural consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, relationships. I need you to be more present. I need you to be more engaging. I need you more to talk. I'm not, you know, I am who I am. That's who you're. Okay, well, you know what? I'm leaving your ass. Oh, well, okay. I could probably learn to be more engaging.
Yeah. Republican Senator Bill Coleman of Ponca City.
Ponca?
P-O-N-C-A. Ponca?
Where is?
Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Proposed a bill yesterday that would rename 3 inches.
Oh,
3 inches
on. That
of State Highway 325 in the panhandle as the Lincoln-Riley Highway. Coleman sent a release. He felt the city of Oklahoma needed an appropriate goodbye to Riley, whose sudden departure left many in shock, including a team of young, delisted college players. The explanation and selection method behind the highway spot had found the tiniest section of our most desolate of highways to pay tribute to Coach Riley's exit from Oklahoma football and the state. This is real, by the way. This is only fitting as this is the last 3 inches one sees before leaving our great state heading west.
Oh, well, good. So there's some. Oh, I like that.
From
then.
All indications, professionalism was pretty much absent in how Lincoln Riley departed this and it was how it was executed. The bill could become law on February 7th, and it appears it has the votes to pass.
So you think Lincoln Riley did it in a very unscrupulous way and professional? I'm just asking. Given the way coaches change,
I don't. Not any different than, listen, I don't think there's a way to leave.
Thank you.
I don't think there's a way to leave anymore because the media.
Yes.
I mean, we're looking at tail numbers on Jets.
Right.
That's AB173-7.
Right.
What is that jet? Oh, that's an Oklahoma jet. Why is it here in Southern California?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So the word gets out. Now, you know, with the Brian Kelly situation. He's the only one that knows firsthand what's going to happen because he's the one that has to say yes or no, right?
Right.
So no one can report on him taking or doing anything or denying anything until he says, I'm doing it. At that point in time, if you want to do it right, and at least, you know, Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, said I wasn't surprised by it. He didn't even want a counteroffer. We probably weren't going to give him a counteroffer. He feels like he's been death by a thousand cuts, marriage type of thing, 12 years in. You could tell he was on the way out. He was cheating already. But Brian could have said, listen, I'm going to take this deal, but I don't want anything. I want a non-disclosure, whatever we got to do to sign. I don't want anything to happen until I get to talk to my boys tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. I'm flying back tonight. I want to tell them first.
Yep.
And go out my way, and then you can plaster it everywhere you want. And there's only, what, 3, 4, 5 different guys, lawyers, agents, in a particular room, I would think, when you're doing a deal like this. It's not like, you know, they're not looking for the mole. Okay, who's going to be dropping? Who's going to be leaning? Who's going to be finding out? So someone's talking. I'm sure there's boosters. I'm sure there's presidents. I'm sure there's athletic directors talking to their buddies. Hey, I think we're talking to Brian Kelly tomorrow. I think there's a possibility here, blah, blah, blah. Just shut up. You're going to get the deal done. Mm-hmm. Do it right. And I think that's what these kids are asking in this particular case. The senator's asking, listen, just sit down and say, listen, they're offering me the world. I'm young. I love you guys. But I want to take this opportunity. I think most kids would go, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fine, coach.
Well,
best of luck to you.
Well,
but to sit there and for these kids to see it on the bottom of the TV screen from their coach is bullshit.
You.
I mean, that's deplorable. I mean, that really is. My boss doesn't owe me anything at a much different level. Say I sold Tony Curry Radio.
I'd
reach out to you first and say, listen, I'm thinking about doing this, or this is about ready to happen. I don't want you to see it on television or whatever that I'm selling this company for $4 million. It's just one of those things where I think you owe it to some of your employees. Some people don't. You know, if a teacher's leaving a class, she's meeting with her class.
Absolutely.
Hey, kids, this is going to be my last time.
And
my kid's therapist is leaving, and she's like, hey, listen, before I leave, I want to let you know here's the situation. She just didn't up and leave him. And I think coaches, it's not a good look when you're leaving one school for another because you're getting bought out and you get a ton of money and you're leaving in the middle of the night. There's a lot of coaches that have left in the middle of the night. We've seen that. We saw that with Tommy Tuberville. People can make that argument about Nick Saban. I'll never take that job.
That's the point that's so interesting to me is why do they – why – if you ask Nick Saban or Tommy Tuberville or even Lincoln Riley or Brian Kelly. Why did you do it that way? Like, if you really, you know what, and I don't mean that in an accusatory way. I would want to know, why did you do it that way? Because exactly what you said, look, and I do see this in business. You're about to do something that is going to...
It's incredibly passive.
Yeah, right, because
that says a lot about a person who is a coach at the highest level, because there's no passive coaching. You don't coach passive or you're losing your ass.
Right.
If you're making adjustments in the third quarter, you're supposed to make it halftime, you're going to lose the football game. So why are you passive in this aspect of your life?
Exactly. You know why? It's insecurity. It is all the time. Because think about it. You're going to make a decision that in your head, you know that this decision it may be good for me, but it's going to hurt some people. And so instead of saying that is where it is, and I'm going to try to do this in the most compassionate way I can, what people tend to do is I got to make it so it's not that bad, right? I got to make it so I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to go fly in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. and I'm going to think, I'm going to send a text. And the reality is that all that you're doing is avoiding or trying to avoid your own distress.
Oh yeah,
it's
very selfish.
It's incredibly selfish. And what I don't understand is these are guys, like you said, these are coaches who are dealing with every aspect of a player and their person. And
I know they're mentoring these kids. They're telling them how to live right. I mean, Nick Saban will say it's more than winning football games. I want to get these guys ready for life.
It is one of the worst examples of how to get people.
It's relationships.
Ready. Yes.
It's the guy texting his girlfriend in the middle of the night, I don't want to be with you anymore, and never and blocking her phone call.
Right.
I mean, have the balls to sit down and say, listen, I know I'm not perfect. I made some things, but I've decided I want to move on and do something else. And at least you're saying it to her face. It hurts as much, but do it in person. Make sure she's not finding out from her best friend leaving her.
Right. And then don't make excuses while you're doing it. This is one of the worst things you can do in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, here, I'm going to leave, but there was really nothing else I could do. But you're really going to be, you know, you're going to be okay. And there's really not, you know, stop.
This isn't about you.
Stop. Yeah. I'm leaving. And I know for some of you that, or maybe all of you, it's incredibly hurtful. And for that, I am sorry. But I had to make a decision for myself. Then shut up.
Yep.
Don't tell, and I've seen this coach, you know, life is about choices.
Yep.
And ultimately, because you know what you're doing there? There you're just pulling rank.
Yep.
You're pulling rank so that you can feel better. Mm-hmm. No, you're the one that broke their hearts.
Yep.
They didn't break your heart. You broke their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Own it.
Yeah. There's going to be some kids that don't get it. They're going to be angry anyway, just like an angry wife or an angry husband who's making
it. Well, even if they don't get it. I mean, not that they don't get it.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say this. What do you mean they don't get it? They have a right to be angry.
Yeah. And it's not about letting them down easy, because there is no easy.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, that's why a lot of people do, you know, ghosting or being passive in relationships.
I don't want to hurt them.
The girl or the boy already knows that something's up. Something doesn't seem right. We're not sleeping as much together, or you're not calling me back like you used to, and something's going on, and you pull the old, not ready to tell her yet. I've been super busy. I've been slammed at work. I'm in a bit of a funk. I've got a lot going on in my personal life. I'm just not really sure. When all along she feels in her gut that something's not right, she's holding out hope because she may trust you or how long the relationship's going on. And then eventually, you would have been better off just to rip the Band-Aid off and say, listen, this ain't working for me. I need to move on. And that's what Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley should have done.
That's right. Letting down easy.
Yeah.
There's a formula to letting down.
It really makes the coach look like a fool to me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then Lincoln Riley's coming into my living room, or Brian Kelly's coming into my living room.
Yeah.
And saying, well, coach, you know, as a parent, I'm going to go, coach, my kid loves you. Your first year at LSU, we were going to go there anyway. Let me ask you something. If another opportunity arises where you have an opportunity to leave, how are you going to go out? That's the question I'd ask.
Not because, if you're going to go out.
If you're going to go out, yeah. If you decide that you're going to quit or resign or leave or whatever, how are you going to let my son know you're going to be leaving?
Oh, I would love to be in the room.
Louisiana State University. How are you going to do that?
And say,
are you going to tell them before they read it on the screen? Because I need to know that, because we've already seen this once, and I'm not going to have my boy sign up for 3 years and all of a sudden you decide you don't want to coach football anymore.
Well, no. But related to that, Because that would be a, oh, God, that'd be a great question.
Steve Spurrier did it at South Carolina.
Yeah?
It was bullshit. You know, people are like, ah, it's a ball coach, da-da-da-da-da. He was getting blown up for being too old to recruit. He would slam on people because he was snarky. And I like Steve Spurrier. But he's sitting there saying, yeah, people say I can't recruit anymore because I'm 69, 70 years old. And in the middle of the season, he decides to leave and quit his football team.
Yep.
In the middle of the football season,
so this is what you do not say.
And Brian Kelly could have done it a lot differently.
Oh, yeah.
He could have stayed till the end of the football year. Yeah. He had LSU by the balls, and he could have said, listen, I'm going to be here for my kids, and I'll make an announcement at the end of the year. Word's going to be out there. I'm not going to say anything, but let me talk to my kids first.
Yep.
And that's what you do. You talk to your kids first.
Well, and
he owes it to them.
What I think is really interesting about recruiting is if you're a head coach, particularly if this has happened to you as a head coach, or even if it's just happening.
Yeah.
And you're the parent, and you say to the head coach who's out there recruiting, are you going to be here for the 4 years that my kid is here? Because my kid wants to come play with you.
Can't tell you that.
Yes.
Yes. My thought is I will be.
Right now I am, but I cannot promise that.
And absolutely. I can't make
it. But I can promise you that if I decide to leave.
That I'll let you know.
See, and that's the thing. You know, oh, well, that's going to screw up your recruiting.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Listen, I'm asking that if I'm going to see Lane Kiffin right now, his name comes up for everything. And he decided, and the thing is, Lane Kiffin decided a long term deal with Ole Miss. That don't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
If he goes 3-7 next year, he's going to get fired.
That's right.
So he's going to be gone. So, I mean, Lane Kiffin has been jumping around all over the place. I'm going to Lane Kiffin to play at Ole Miss, I'm going to go, Coach, I know you can't tell me this. I know you can't tell me if you're going to be here in 2025. But can you at least tell me, give me a heads up before I read it on ESPN that you've left to go take a job somewhere else? I think you settled in a little bit.
Well, you know, the other thing it does, man, this is a little deep, but for 17, 18-year-olds, this teaches you, this is so good. I made myself happy right now. This teaches you about how life works, right? So life, it's not that there's no guarantees in life, but the reality is, when you're going to play at a school, the true reality is that there is no guarantee that your coach will stay.
Yep.
None. No matter how much the coach is your mentor or whatever, they may leave. And I think for athletes, it's a pivotal point because there's some that will see that as lack of trust. I can't trust him because he may leave or whatever. But for others, if you're talking to me, I'm going to say, no. You are the athlete. This is the coach. You are here at the university. This person may or may not be here, but your decision is to come be a part of this program, including the coach. That's how work works. Relationships work.
That's like a boyfriend saying, I'm moving. I want you to come with me. You go there. You hate the city. You hate your job. You hate everything about it. Don't move.
Yeah.
Then say, because I'm moving here for you, and if you're gone, then I got nothing here. You need to make sure that campus is great.
Yeah.
I love the coach, but I love the university. I love my classes. I love the girl I'm with. I love all these things, absolutely.
I hope parents are telling me, because that is, it's not just that it's a letdown. It's a false expectation. Yeah. Don't expect your coach to be there. But at the same time, you don't have to be paranoid. To me, it's a marriage. Don't assume that they're going to be there for you for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Work to make sure that it's in a good place and know that if they leave, you've done the best that you can.
One place has been there for over 2.5 years, the Club at Lakeview. The Club at Lakeview Facebook page is fantastic, theclubatlakeview.com. Chris Creek, who is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, he runs the place. They have a great 9-hole golf course. I love this country club because it's a community-based country club. If you go there in the summertime on Saturdays and Sundays, everybody knows each other. There's a couple hundred people there. They have bands playing by the pool. They have sand volleyball. The swimming pool's fantastic. They have golf tournaments. They had their first night golf tournament a couple weeks ago. They do golf tournaments all the time. They do things for charities. And, of course, it's golf, swim, eat, repeat. They have a great dining room, a golfer's lounge, 50-foot bar, great for bowl games and everything else. Check out the Club at Lakeview. The Club at Lakeview, 477-6125, 477-6125. It's in God's country, my friend. It's in McCalla, about 20 miles outside Birmingham. So, man, when you get out there, the air smells fresher.
Yes.
It's great. And it's your country club. It's a private membership. And a lot of people are like, I can't afford that. You can, yes. At the club at Lakeview, theclubatlakeview.com. Talk about another one of our great sponsors. We'll get back to some more classic rock. Don't forget later on tonight, Blues Almighty with Austin Hanks. Been keeping in touch with them. Last Thursday night show, I've said this a million times, one of the best shows I've ever heard on any radio station. The music was just fantastic. And by the way, I want to thank James Michael Keats and also a good friend of mine, David, who puts these shows together. Yeah. They do fantastic work. Yes. I do a lot of the hosting. Josh does the Adapter Parish thing that runs on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, but it sounds...
But, I mean, they put it together. Their behind-the-scenes work is making these shows sound so good. And those air every Monday through Friday night at 8 o'clock. And, again, replays. Adapter Parish on Tuesdays at noon at 8. Dark Side of the Pooch, noon at 8 on Mondays. Live Wire Wednesday on Wednesday nights. And then Thursdays, Blues Almighty. And the Damon Johnson Show, noon and 8 on Fridays right here on Tony Curry Radio. Download that Tony Curry Radio app. Let me know what you think.
Let me tell you about men's prostate health, guys. I'm going to say it. I'm going to keep saying it every day. That's right. That's going to be our new show, hopefully. One out of nine men are going to develop prostate cancer. The good news about that is when we first started working with Vitero Health, one of our partners, it was one out of seven men. So actually, it has become less common. Prostate cancer, and at the same time, it's becoming more treatable. Vitero Health is a company that brings new treatments for prostate cancer into the marketplace. They work with urologists and urology centers all over the country, and they have a really simple message, guys. Number one, make sure you have a prostate exam each year. Number two, get a blood test. Number three, go to Vitero Health so you can understand what your treatment options are, because there's a lot of them if you develop prostate cancer. The webpage is VitroHealth.com, and when you go there, you'll see information about men's health, men's prostate health, and treatments for prostate cancer. Again, company is Vitero Health, and that webpage is VitroHealth.com.
Tony Curry Radio, the Curry and Claypo Show, until 9:30 every Monday through Friday morning from 7:30 to 9:30. We'll replay it from 6 until 8. A couple of parting shots here that I thought are really interesting. First of all, sorry to hear that Jalen Rose and Molly Kierum are divorcing after nearly 3 years of marriage. I didn't even know they were together.
Yeah,
she, of course, of the Stephen A. Smith Show, and, of course, Jalen Rose all over the NBA on ESPN, and it seems like it's amicable. It's, we're looking for dirt, and there's really no dirt. She evidently moved to Connecticut, which... I went worked up there for a couple of weeks for ESPN when I was trying to get a job up there and was offered something, and it's just there's just nothing to do in Bristol. Everyone goes to New York and Boston. They don't even live in Bristol. There's nothing. It's ESPN. They should just call it ESPNville and not Bristol, because there's nothing. There's a Friendly's and a one hotel, and that's it.
That's so why? Because when they started, that's where...
Yeah, I mean, that's okay. Where it was, and it's miles and miles of satellite dishes. It's incredible to look at, and they built their own campus. They make it as Google-like as they possibly can. For people there, because they want you to live close and around that area, but it's super, super expensive near Hartford to live there, and so people tend to want to live on the outskirts and go out in the woods and live. And he basically said when she moved to Connecticut, just... I couldn't do it anymore. And obviously, because of the pandemic and now we're doing things virtually and remotely, that was a situation where I guess he wants to be. Maybe she needs to be in the studio in Bristol. Maybe it's a situation, I don't know contractually how that works. I know if I was going to work in the radio aspect of it, I'd have to be in Bristol to work.
Right.
And we had just adopted our son. It just didn't work out for me. So that was kind of a bummer. The other thing is, I think the... Jelaine Maxwell stuff is just, I think it's fascinating. There's a picture that just came out late last night where her and Epstein are at Queen Elizabeth's estate. I know. And evidently they were invited there by Prince Andrew along with a 20-year-old model, 20-year-old something model. And they're sitting at this cabin. And I know a lot of pictures are coming out. There was also the story that perhaps she was pregnant at one point, that she was naked and pregnant. There was some girl said she saw her naked and impregnated. No one else seemed to have seen this. And the other thing is the picture of her rubbing his feet. And I'm like, and the people are making a huge deal out of a woman rubbing a guy's feet on a private airplane. I'm like, what's the big deal?
Because that was his. What was it? That's first my feet, then my.
I used to rub my wife's feet.
I know. But...
I don't know if I'd take a picture of it, but I mean, listen, if I didn't know who you were, I took all the photos of you and your past,
there'd only be about two.
In most cases.
Because I'm older. Because.
What I'm saying, there's photos of all kinds of different things. And I've taken pictures of myself.
Maybe more than two.
Yeah.
Maybe like five.
Yeah.
That's
I'm probably going, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, and then I find out that you're being investigated for sexual harassment or molesting children
and
or whatever.
Then
all of a sudden, oh, that's weird. She's rubbing his feet. That's, well, she'd do anything for a guy if she's going to rub his feet. Come on, stop.
No, I don't think. I don't think the picture of rubbing his feet, it is the story, though.
I saw the, since they're not allowed to have cameras in there, they sketched her rubbing his feet, and she's got the smile on her face, and it's like obviously one of these professional sketchers, and it doesn't look anything like her, but it looks like two cartoon characters about ready to get it on. It was kind of funny. Do they have a really strange, bizarre relationship? Absolutely. Is it a relationship I've seen before? Absolutely. They were obviously in love, they were together, and then it turned into a working relationship, which is really, really weird. And then it turned into this, I'm going to help you do things and get things and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And as long as he was taking care of her, do I think that they were still intimate up to his dying days before he was put in prison? Probably. I think it was just a really bizarre, strange.
It would be okay if they were intimate.
Yeah.
That's not the.
Well, there was a point there where when they separated or they were no longer a couple, it was, you know what it was like? It was Donnie Marie. It was a. And happy birthday to Donny Osmond, by the way.
Is
today.
It today?
Yeah, today's his birthday.
Please tell. Does he know how old he is?
He is
70?
64.
Oh, good. That makes me feel bad.
No, it's got a little Donny Marie to it, where they look really, really too comfortable. The whole Saturday Night Live skit where they start singing together and they start making out. So it looked like a brother and sister kind of thing. They were so hands on and around, and he's always got his arm around her neck. Even after they were no longer considered a couple, I think it's torturous, and I think it's salacious, and I think it's the pictures, but the picture of her rubbing his feet is everywhere today. I'm like, that's what you got.
Is it right? It is not that.
Yeah.
The rest, I mean, they don't have video of it, but the rest is the reports of the victims.
I think we have to be really super careful. Think about through your life. I think we have to be super careful about indicting based on public appearances and guilt by association. And because I can,
of course, you have to be. Yes, you have to be careful.
Because every person that was ever friends with Epstein now is considered a molester.
No,
Prince Andrew, no. Bill Clinton. Yes, they are. They're Donald Trump. Yes, they are.
No.
You're
no,
throwing,
but you're, you. No,
there's the hmm. There's
yes,
the hmm.
There should be.
There's the hmm.
There should be the hmm, and the hmm should lead to an evaluation. And if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. Yep. That's the whole point.
Well, the thing is, we're not going to go there, and we're leaving it up to public opinion to whether Bill Clinton slept with a 14-year-old, and that's ridiculous to me.
No, but
I'm like,
listen,
stop.
No, but
if you want to investigate it and go after it, then I'm all about listening to it. I want to hear it. But just because you've been associated with someone who is now dead or something.
Yeah, but it's public opinion. So who are you mad at? The public?
No. I mean, there are people out there right now just digging to find out.
Of course.
Every celebrity that Epstein ever had any type of.
Because.
And he was a powerful man. And when you're a powerful man, you're going to run into a lot of people.
No, but listen. Listen.
Yeah.
There is a difference. There are a lot of powerful people who are not freaks like Epstein was, sexual predators.
True.
So my point there is, because he was who he was, people should be digging. And if all those other powerful people, it was unbeknownst to them that he was doing those things, there will be nothing to find.
What's interesting is that we talked about this whole Playboy docuseries coming out.
Right.
Can make an argument with every woman that lived in that house. You're as creepy as he is. You are part of it.
What? Yes, you could. But is it illegal?
And you knew it was going on.
But it's not illegal. Yes, you can do that. That's public opinion.
It was illegal what was happening in there. He just died before we could convict his ass.
I mean, yes. But that's a part of living in a society where people make judgments about what you do, whether legal or illegal.
I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying check it back a little bit. That's all.
Check what back?
Be careful.
What?
Because I don't know anyone that hasn't associated themselves with a dirtbag at some point in their life.
No, see,
and just because you went out and had a drink with a dirtbag doesn't mean you're a dirtbag yourself. That's
Epstein,
all I'm saying. That's
Epstein
all I'm saying.
Epstein is more than a dirtbag.
That's all I'm saying.
Epstein's more than a dirtbag.
Oh, he's a dead dirtbag now.
No. He's a sick dead sick.
But we don't know that about Maxwell yet.
No, we don't know about Maxwell. She could be no.
But in the court of public opinion, she's done.
No, but that's us.
He hadn't died, she's probably off. But because he's dead, they have to point the finger on somebody.
Yeah, well, because to the extent that she was a huge part of it.
Poor woman.
Oh,
she was
you kidding me?
She was just sitting there helping the guy.
She was just rubbing his feet.
He was insecure, and the poor guy just needed some love and attention and needed someone to rub his feet. And he probably didn't have a gift certificate to the Woodhouse Day Spa and just didn't know where to go. And he had this lovely black-haired woman. Never mind.
I think I need to check my anger back.
I just think it's interesting. Yeah, I think you do too. I just think it's interesting because, you know, we're seeing all these pictures come out, and I'm like, dude, how many times have we had pictures taken of us in compromising situations?
No, you see, you always lump us, not me.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a picture of you.
There are not in semi-compromising. I've posted some of them online.
Okay.
There's one that I have not.
Yeah.
But it's not terrible. It would not ruin my relationship, and my wife has seen it.
Good boy. That's good.
That's the first thing I did. Here are all my compromising pictures. The advantage to you and I is that we were born before digital cameras.
Yeah, thank God.
Thank God.
I found some pictures at a box. I got all my stuff in one box.
You got to be careful with the box.
I got one box. One box.
I've tried to do that because as long as you all have it in one box.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. Look in a digital age.
Oh, and there were pictures of inside of limos.
Oh, see, you're different than me.
There was 65
miles an hour down the road.
Surprisingly, there were no pictures in nightclubs.
Anaconda.
Yeah. There were no pictures of, but there was Hawaiian Tropic beauty pageants.
Yeah, see, that's
there were Hooters contests. There were no pictures taken inside nightclubs, which is a pretty amazing because you could take cameras in nightclubs. But there was, and I died to have some of those pictures just because, you know, and I had hair down to my shoulders. That's great. All right, this is Curry and Klepo. Again, you can hear our show from 6 until 8 later on tonight. Blues Almighty with Austin Hanks, 8 o'clock tonight. Damon Johnson Show at 8 o'clock. Quickly, tell us about another one of our great sponsors, and then we'll do some more classic rock right here. We'll be on Fox 6 in just about 10 minutes.
Let me talk about John Gray, Driscoll Gray. I am meeting with him tomorrow. We meet probably about once a month, just touch base to see how things are going. You need to have your money managed for you in a way that takes into account your whole life, not just how much money you got in the bank or how much debt. And that's what John Gray does. He looks at how much money you have. He looks at how much debt you have. He looks at what your goals are. He sits down and he talks with you. He'll come to your house. He'll spend time with you so he can understand how to best invest your money and how to advise you on saving and to manage your debt. Go to his webpage today. It's DriscollGray.com. He's got great market insights. Again, John Gray, I've worked with him for over a decade. You need to work with him too. Webpage is DriscollGray.com.